This is Monday Night Talk with your host, Kevin Tachi, on 95.9 WATD.
And we are back for our first segment, probably one of the last segments of 2013. Joining us for the last Statehouse report for 2013 is none other than State Representative Jim Cantwell. Mr. Cantwell, how are you, sir?
What an honor. I'm glad to be here for the last Statehouse report of the year.
How was your Christmas?
Christmas was wonderful. Got to see both sides of the family. We had a wonderful Christmas Eve brunch. Had like 25 people home, and this is the nicest time of year as we all just be able to have time with family and friends and start to focus on what we're going to be doing in a new year. But it was wonderful. How about yourself, Kevin and Joe?
I got through it, Joe. How about you?
It was very good this year.
First and foremost, we can kind of close out the new year, close out this year, talking about where things stand as far as with the flood insurance.
Sure.
I know that there was some new information in regards to the federal government that I'm not sure if I heard Joe or if I heard you talking about it with one of our reporters on ATD.
Yeah, I think we have found this year, really since July, this has been the most important issue facing all of the South Shore and frankly all of Massachusetts, that it's impossible to overstate how disastrous these changes to what's called the Federal Act of Biggert Waters and the local flood maps will be. Not just for our residents of Marshfield and Scituate, but coastal and inland areas as well. So as far as a quick overview, kind of a year in review on this, and then what we're doing right now, the whole issue began, and Joe knows very well, his co-chair, a member of the Marshfield Coastal Coalition, Doris Crary, came to a meeting we had in July. That was a second annual coastal summit that we did here in Marshfield. We were celebrating at that point getting $3.3 million to repair a jetty down in Green Harbor. We were very happy that we just had the Currituck come to dredge to help our fishermen get in and out. We're talking of monies that we're getting for our seawalls. It was a very positive time saying all these things that we were doing, and we are at the eve or the verge of announcing $1 million for a new maritime center, marine center, as part of our harbor master's office down in Green Harbor. And Doris raised her hand. She had just called me the weekend before and said, can you put me on the agenda? And she said at this meeting, this was actually late June, she said, everyone needs to be aware that we have new flood maps that will be coming in July and that this will pose a tremendous hardship for Marshall residents and Scituate residents. So it was a first inclination that we had. There were no maps at the time, Kevin and Joe. But just less than a few weeks later, the maps for us came out, and she was absolutely right that these maps now are reaching in some 40% of both Marshfield and Scituate, people who never have seen water, no matter what the storms, from the blizzard of 78 right through the no-name storm and the others, and people being told they could have bills of $3,000, $6,000, some people receiving bills for $68,000. For flood insurance. So clearly it's something that's been that we have spent, the coastal coalitions, both Marshfield with Joe and Doris and John and others, as well as the Scituate Coastal Coalition and our selectmen have done, really Marshfield Scituate selectmen, it's been a unifying factor for them. And I am so proud to say that Marshfield and Scituate really have been the leaders on this issue, kind of the tip of the spear, first to demonstrate to myself. And then when we brought it to the State House, when we had a hearing with over 51 legislators saying that this is the most important thing happening in the state right now and what the disastrous consequences will be for real estate values, for banking issues, how we proved at a hearing that we could have foreclosures that would come as a result of this, Kevin. We had the insurance industry there for the hearing saying how disastrous this was for them. We had people across the board saying it would be terrible for our economy. So we've gone to work. And I know this is a long way of answering your very simple question, Kevin.
But at least if we're being thorough about it, it's good.
Yeah. So at the state level, we filed two pieces of legislation, one requiring that the State Division of Insurance investigate how FEMA has done these maps from the very beginning. Joe can attest that we had a meeting here in Marshfield where we had some 2,500 people from Marshfield, Scituate, and surrounding areas. Joe, you and I both spoke.
Yeah, and I'd never seen that auditorium as packed as it was, standing room only,
literally. It didn't to show how significant this issue is. At that night, we were saying these maps are fallacious, that we knew that they had made errors, but the town of Marshfield, town of Scituate, did the right thing to hire experts to push back on these maps, Kevin, and that's where we're getting.
But from what I understand is that things are going to stay the way they They are, that folks aren't, you know, because of what's happened down on the federal, what's happened on the federal level, folks will not be privy to, am I correct, Joe?
They're
not going to get any kind of refunds, and that their rates are going to stay the same. Is that correct?
Well, that's, and Jim can talk about this also. There's two issues here, as Jim was just about to talk about, and that is the maps and the legislation and the Bigger Waters Act, which are two separate things happening at the same time. It is correct where if the legislation in that end, if that is amended, which there is talk that January 6th there'll be a vote in the U.S. Senate to try to pause some of these rate increases. You know, should you already have paid your higher premium, then the amendment gets passed and Bigger Waters is put on pause. You're right, Kevin. You will not see a refund. But at the same time, once this amendment is passed and Bigger Waters is paused, then you won't see rate increases for 4 years. And Jim can probably talk, you know, more about this.
Remember, this is usually an abbreviated segment, the State House report. If you wanted to kind of find a way to kind of at least close out 2013 on the flood insurance where things stand and kind of give some kind of perspective on what we're going to be looking at for 2014, whether it's, you know, the Bigger Waters Act being put on pause, whether it's the state trying to do something.
Great. So right now, as listeners will be here on Monday night, as they're, you know, hearing about the maps first and foremost, the best news as 2013 came to a close was Congressman Keating having two independent groups review the maps that were proposed for Marshfield and by extension, really the whole state. And they reinforced what we had, the Marshfield selectmen, Scituate selectmen, had found when they hired their experts from Woods Hole and the group called Ransom Engineering, is these maps are wrong. We knew it. Just Kevin, when the minute I saw the first maps where they said we'd have 3-foot waves hitting in Marshfield Center, we said this is ridiculous. But now we have concrete proof. Congressman Keating's group put together a white paper that showed that they used the wrong analysis for wave analysis. They're using a Pacific Coast model, which is entirely inappropriate for here.
Oops.
Yes. And our experts had also shown that they were using the wrong flood elevation when they were starting for Stillwater elevation. So we think these maps should be rescinded, Kevin. And that's the best news for people would be folks who have not been in the floodplains before. Really, there needs to be the maps withdrawn and rewritten. So people who right now are in 2013 who are panicked about this will know that hopefully there's relief coming there. And then Joe is correct. We have a vote. The U.S. Senate is supposed to vote this upcoming week, the week of January 6th, on the issue of freezing these maps for 4 years.
Next Monday night.
Yeah. So, but we always caution people. It is the U.S. Congress. It's going to take a great deal of time before they'll see an eventual resolution to these maps. We really need the interim of just a freeze is no grand bargain. It's great to help us for a few years, but we have to get this right. So I appreciate Kevin. We'll be in here many times, I think, talking about this issue. Joe, I appreciate all the work with the Marshfield Coastal Coalition. Marshfield Selectmen hopefully will come in, talk about their great work. It's impossible to overstate the significance of our towns working together, making a huge difference at the state and federal level. I'm very excited to let people know we're making a difference.
Yeah, and you know, Jim has a great point where this is the one issue that I've seen personally where every single person at every level, government, private, up and down the coast, Marshfield and Scituate working together is on the same page going forward, and it's been just such a great thing to see us all come together like we have.
I got to ask you probably one of the final things I have to throw at you. Anything that you're going to be working, other than what's going on with the flood insurance and finding out what's going on with the FEMA maps, what else do you have in the pipeline that you're going to be working on for 2014?
Some big issues coming. You'll see another focus really on coastal infrastructure. One thing, Kevin, that you and I discussed from before that I co-created a group, a National Institute for Coastal and Harbor Infrastructure, where we're proving we can't have towns like Marshall and Scituate do it on their own. We really need to have a federal commitment to help cities and towns throughout the United States to look at coastal infrastructure, how we make improvements to protect people's property, certainly protect lives. And I have some exciting news coming up on coastal infrastructure here from Marshall and Scituate. That'll be early in the new year. We continue to try to work to protect the integrity of the emergency 911 ambulance service. Kevin Robinson Rick Judge and I have been working for a little over a year now, a year and a half on this issue. It has passed the House. We're trying to make sure that we have additional action. This bill I filed before passed the Senate as well. It has been vetoed and sent back, so we're working to try to make sure that comes into law.
Remind folks what that bill is.
What that bill is, Blue Cross Blue Shield and other insurance companies did a very Machiavellian thing when they decided that for insurance, when people call for an ambulance, all they care about is the ambulance is there within seconds, and our paramedics, our firefighters do a great job for folks. The issue of who gets paid is very important. And what Blue Cross and others now have done is they said to our localities, saying either you join our network and accept what we will pay for an ambulance ride, which is about 60 cents on the dollar, or if you don't, we're going to pay the patient directly. And God bless you, you can go chase a patient for payment. It's a great business model. They're talking of ways that they'll save costs, but it's hurting right now the communities that have they hire like AMR and others. The communities that hire private insurance, private ambulance providers, are taking about a 40% loss in revenue. It's hurting them greatly. You're going to for Brockton, huge issue for Brockton, Kevin.
But there are others like Whitman who have their own ambulance services. They usually depend on that revenue.
Oh, they do it in Marshfield and Scituate. Definitely do. It's one of our larger areas for public safety. It's something we depend upon for revenue. And it really is. It's jeopardizing the integrity of our emergency 911 system. So it's something that I'm cautiously optimistic. We already prevailed in the House once. We've already prevailed in the Senate once. We have some ways that we're trying to work this out, and I'm hoping early in 2014 we'll get this passed.
Any early news in regards to FY 2015? We know we're going to be waiting for the governor's budget at the end of January. Any thought that we might see some increase in local aid? I know that's the one thing that's usually wished upon by a lot of the communities around the state.
Yeah, I think you will say that. You always have to be careful when the first budget comes out. It's a budget that sets priorities to act upon for the next year, but you have to look for what are called benchmarks for revenue. The good news is right now we just had
Wait. Benchmarks or tax increases?
No.
Okay, just checking.
a benchmark is called when they say we did what's called a consensus revenue hearing just 2 weeks ago.
I understand that, but I'm talking about when the governor usually... The governor's MO has been over the past couple of years is we always wait to see what taxes, what particular taxes he would look to implement to raise revenues.
Oh, I understand. Because there was one year they had worked in two revenues that they thought funds that would come from casino gambling, for instance, too. We have to be careful because right now, as you're seeing, town after town is voting against casinos coming in. So any kind of proposals for a budget that come in January, we on the House side have been far more conservative, and we have always looked to say, what are the true revenues that are coming in? We do a budget around actual revenue. The Senate then has an advantage a few weeks later. They look at what revenues have been for a whole half year. The good news right now from a state budget perspective as far as local aid, we have exceeded what the projections were in 2013 for tax revenues. That's very good news for our ability to
like help. $600 million, if I'm correct.
A little over $400 million, but the higher number would be if you're taking one time. You're right.
Take a million, give a million.
Yeah.
That's what I'm hearing. I'm hearing $600 million was kind of right around the area of where the ebb and flow was.
Right.
It was kind of over-projected, which is good.
It is good news. But again, it just is showing the difference. We want to make sure if there are one-time revenues that come in, sometimes from settlements we have for litigation, we never want to cook those into a full budget because we won't have that revenue over and over. So those funds, we've done a very good job over the last 5 years of making sure those funds go into a rainy day account. Massachusetts has over $1 billion in its rainy day account. We're one of the highest in the country. That has helped us when the bond rating...
Bond rating, Chip.
Yeah, when the bond rate, when they at the same time they downgraded the ratings for the federal government, saying they were concerned about them paying their bills. Here in Massachusetts, Standard & Poor's came out and talked of how Democrats and Republicans working very hard together made some significant cuts years ago, came up with revenue source, came up with ways for efficiencies, things like merging and eliminating the Turnpike Authority. They gave us the thumbs up and gave us the highest bond rating we've had in the history of our Commonwealth.
Well, also Marshfield's bond rating was just increased
was.
As well.
Yeah, to the same. Yeah. So that's good news for taxpayers, knowing when we do important things for infrastructure improvements or things like building a new school, all those things, we're paying less for that borrowing, and that's good news for taxpayers all around.
Well, we want to thank you for being a part of the new thing that Joe and I kind of implemented earlier this year and kind of having this State House report and having different lawmakers come on and talk about whether it's something that they're working on up on Beacon Hill or something that has to do with the district. So we thank you for helping us to close out 2013, and we'll look forward to hearing more from you in 2014.
And Kevin and Joe, thanks for having me in, because it is, you know, for us, there's so much work that takes place. It's important, really, the partnership that we have with WATD to continue to have the award-winning news programs that we have, so people know what's going on locally, but people get to weigh in on national issues, as we see with flood insurance and state issues. So it's a great partnership. I appreciate you having me in.
Right. We're the only FM talk show on right now, I believe so. We will step aside. Again, thank you, Representative, for stopping by. We're going to step aside. When we come back, more Monday Night Talk. Don't go anywhere.